All right, our first session this afternoon is a young minister out of Ilorin. All right, I met him first, like I said. That's where Gaze was my protocol officer, and he was leading a fellowship. I went to preach at Agape Celebration. I'm correct, right? Yeah. That's Christ Love Fellowship in 2006. He's a very solid man of God. All right? He's a very, very solid man of God. He's a person that understands constituted spiritual authority. He's a bold man of God. All right? And God has really graced him. To grow a church in Ilorin is not for boys. Okay? It's not for boys. Lagos boys can do, but Ilorin, you must know what you are, you know. Okay, because it's direct contact with, principalities and, it's contact sport in that place, So you have to be very, very solid. And in fact, you'll find out that, as I said, there's many, at least in the last, maybe things have changed now. But previously, a whole lot of spiritual capital in Nigeria, whether you say it's Bishop David Odedepo, whether you say it's Pastor George Adegboye, all right, all these people, you will naturally say cut their teeth in that spiritual environment of Ilorin. Reverend Sam Adeyemi, Reverend Victor Adeyemi, these are all products of the Ilorin environment. All right, he's the lead pastor of Citizens of Light Church in Ilorin. Let's welcome to the podium Pastor Moyiwa Ayo.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We give all the praise and glory to you. We thank you for what you are set to do again in our midst this afternoon. Thank you for your generosity from day one. Thank you for the outpouring of your spirit. Thank you for the outpouring of your word. Thank you, Father, for instructions given, corrections received. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done, for mantles received. Thank you for pathways corrected. We give you glory, we give you honor. Dad, we thank you because this new session also, we thank you because what you have ordained before time is added. And thank you because the ears of all men hear you clearly in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and all of the glory. Glorify yourself again, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Could you give Jesus a mighty shout of praise? Glory to God. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think it was 2005 that my pastor called me. It just, we were come to my house. So I'd gone there and then he gave me a green tape. He said, I'm bringing somebody for, I was his assistant, you know, then Pastor Carl de Luton Feshi, and he gave me the tape. He said, go listen to this tape and then come back to tell me what you think. I didn't finish listening to the tape because maybe 20 minutes, it was the cassette, all this transparent green cassette then. I didn't finish. I ran back to his house. I said, who is this person? He said, that's Pastor Kwaju. He said, he's coming for Wahabek. I said, I don't know, is he coming tomorrow or, you know, and it's been 17 years plus of listening to Pastor. And on Wednesday, I sat here and Pastor was preaching and I turned to my wife. He said, I feel like I'm listening to him for the very first time again. That's the feeling I have every time I listen to him. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of witnesses here. It's ever fresh, ever fresh, ever. We celebrate you, sir, and I honor you deeply. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you, sir. Pastor Toyin, thank you so much, my. Pastor Toyin's heart is like a stadium. As in, it's the way and manner in which she, you know, carries greatness, you know, with such simplicity. I honor you, ma. Thank you so much, ma. Pastor Yemi, thank you so much, sir. Since a lot of years of knowing Pastor Yemi, thank you so much. I'm delighted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Could you please let me honor my wife, Pastor Tammy? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I celebrate Reverend Emiko. And mommy, thank you so much. And someone's wondering, why are you greeting everybody? I'm trying to calm down. Amen. But not just so, but, you know, the eve of my wedding, I'm not sure Reverend Emiko remember this. I was at Professor Oluwatosin's house in Ibadan, getting ready to get married to this woman. And then Reverend Emiko was on the dining. And I was with Professor Oluwatosin, and I said, because I was to sleep in their house overnight, and I said, is that Reverend Emiko? And he said, yes. And I said, I want to meet him. And he said, oh. And he said, ah, and then he said, come. And I will never forget the prayers he prayed for me and things he said. He said, may the Lord deliver you from terror, and may the Lord deliver you from error. You know, and I just said amen. Then almost like he knew I didn't understand. So he said, come and sit down. And then he explained to me, I don't know if you remember, you know, it's been several years. And then he said to me, it's a terror I think you get yourself into, you know, that you did not solicit. He said, error are the things you get yourself into by your solicitation. He said, may the Lord deliver you from both. And I think the Lord has delivered me from both. Thank you so much, Sam. Glory to Jesus. Amen. I have a word from the Lord for you today, and I believe strongly. Let's start from John chapter 12 and verse 28. And we're going to read to 29. Let's start from KJV, then I'm going to pick one part out, and then we'll read in TPT. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. And it says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and others said an angel spake to him. Isn't it amazing? All right. The voice of the Lord came, and you could hear who Jesus told to glorify his name. Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. And then when he said that, the next thing that happened is that, see, the voice came, you know, from the corridors of heaven and said, I have glorified it and I will also glorify it. Hallelujah. Again. Therefore, but the people who stood by heard and said it thundered. All right. And others said an angel spake unto him. But we both know that those two conclusions were wrong, because it wasn't an angel who spoke to him. It was God who spoke to him. And this happens even, you know, in some of our walk with God, where the voice of the Lord comes to you, but lacking clarity because of certain level where you are in the things of the Spirit. So not able to decode clearly, you know, the voice of the Spirit, you know, over certain matters. So you are hearing, not that you are not hearing, because for them to have said it thundered, so they heard something. For them to have said an angel spoke to him, they heard something. But the clarity of what they heard was what was in question. So it was that something was missing. Alright? And if you read that verse 28 in TPT, I want you to see if you can, you know, it says in TPT, it says, so Father, bring glory to your name. Alright? Then suddenly a booming voice from the sky. Alright? I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it through you again. Notice, there is something added here. I will glorify it through you. All right? So it's not, I have done it before. I have already settled it. But now I will do it through you. And this is where, you know, it gets beautiful. Is the fact that, see, God doesn't just want to glorify his name. He said, I have done it. He said, but this time around, I want to do it through you. Alright, that means what has been settled in the realm of the Spirit, where I am concerned, I want the manifestation of that thing to occur in your life. That means right now, the glorification of my name, as it were, has to be through you. Everything truly is created twice. He's created in the realm of the spirit, and then he's created in the physical realm. In the sense that, see, a word comes, like, when God settles some things for you in the realm of the spirit, concerning your life, concerning your destiny, the next thing the Lord does is that he brings that word to you, you know, through a prophetic utterance. Why am I laying this foundation? Because it's a necessary overture, you know, for what I'm trying to get into, you know, this morning. So just know this, that whatever it is that God wants to do in your life, the first thing he begins, or how God begins it, is that he sends, you know, you will probably be praying, and he says to you, I have settled these things for you in the spirit, but you are about to see the physical manifestation of it in your life. I have glorified it. He said, but I will yet glorify it again. Notice the word again, a second time, this time around in your life. And I believe strongly that everything the Lord has said over you, in the name of Jesus, you will see them come to fruition in Jesus' name. Now let's move to NLT, Luke 19 and verse 41, all right? That was the necessary foundation that you, well, let's build on it here. Luke 19 verse 41, Luke 19, 41. Let me from NLT. The Bible says, but as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. Verse 42 says, how I wish today that you of all people will understand the way of peace. But now it is too late and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against you, against your walls, and encircle you and close you in from every side. They will crush you, you know, in the ground, and you will, you and your children, your enemies, you know, will not leave a single stone in you. Let me just jump. In verse 45, then he entered the temple and began to drive out the people selling animals for sacrifice. And verse 46, he said unto them, the scripture has said, my temple will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Now this is a very interesting thing. Now Jesus was, approaching Jerusalem. And if you read before, because I don't have time, but if you read before, you will have seen the high spirit with which he was coming to Jerusalem. He was riding, they got a colt for him. He was riding the colt. They put, you know, all manner of, stuff on the ground. Hosanna. He was excited coming into the city. And then he got to the city that he was excited to come into. And then he began to weep. Now this is very, very, very conflicting a bit if you look at it. You're excited one moment. You get there, you begin to weep. Why are you weeping? Now what is funny is the fact that if you check the word here twice in the Bible records that Jesus cried. Maybe he might have cried more than that, but twice it was recorded. You must realize that the person we are talking about is not an emotional wreck. Somebody who cries for everything. Some of us cry for everything. I mean, like, you're watching a movie, you know, other South Korean movies, you know, and then whatever, you can't watch a movie with my mother-in-law. You will be, you know, so, what if I dare? You know, like, you say, like, this is, I'm like, God, you know, just leave this thing, mommy. And all that. One day I was in a house, you know, she was watching a movie. I was about to marry my wife then, so I had to play the good boy. And she was watching this movie and I was saying whatever. Then she watching, then she paused it. So she started talking to me. I was so bored. I was tired. I traveled from Lagos to Ibadan to go see her. So I tried pretending like I was sleeping so that she would stop the whatever. So I pretended a bit and she continued the conversation. My wife came here and said to her, anything, Pastor, the guy is even asleep. She said he's hearing on the other side. You know, it was at that time I gave up. Let me tell you the truth. I just woke up. I said, mommy, continue. You know, there was no need at all to pretend because evidently this person is not going to stop. Because she was crying and going through all the things that, you know, and all that. I said, mommy, I'm all ears now. Let's continue from where the movie, where the movie was, you know. So some of us cry for everything. So you're not talking about an emotional wreck. So for Jesus to cry twice, the first, what is funny is the fact that in John 11, I think 35 thereabout, when I was at the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible said he cried, and he wept. If you could, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you're sitting in the Bible, you could do that yourself. The Greek word used there is different from the Greek word used here when he was crying here. The Greek word used there is dakro. To dakro means to shed a tear as though you are moved, you know, you feel pain a bit. That is what it means. So he just shed a tear. But what is funny here is different. What Bible said, he cried here, he wept. That Greek word here is klio. To klio means to weep as though in serious pain.
So this is what is funny. Somebody died. They lost somebody who was like a major partner in your ministry. You got there and then you just cry out. And then you get to another place and then you are weeping and sobbing. What is it? What is it? Why are you crying this much over these people? What is the issue? It is because there is something that you probably have missed, you know, in that story. The Bible said, look at that. Let's go to verse 41 again. But he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead and began to weep over Jerusalem. Look at the next verse. He said, how I wish that you of all people would understand the way of peace. There's something here. He said Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem means house of peace. The word Jerusalem means foundation of peace. So therefore, he said, you are the house of peace, a place of peace. And yet when he got there, he said, the peace that was meant for you is hidden from your eyes. So therefore, you are carrying a prophetic utterance and a prophetic agenda over you, but the manifestation has ceased. So you are Jerusalem truly, but look at it again. Look at verse 42. How I wish that today, look at that, and look at the utterance, NLT. He said, how I wish that today, of all people, you can notice that word, of all people, you would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late. Because why it is hidden? You are Jerusalem. And let me say this to you. Look at how he started. These guys had an utterance over them. This guy said, and let me quickly say this to you, this is important. Everything God will start with your life and begin in your life, you know, will start with a prophetic utterance. Every major thing, notice major move of God and major thing in the scripture began with a prophetic utterance. He came forward. And I don't know who it is here, who you're carrying a prophetic utterance over your life. For some of you, maybe it's not Jerusalem. It's actually the blessing of that you will take over. It's actually the prophetic utterance that you will be this. So therefore, if you look at your life right now, you have the prophetic utterance, but the external manifestation is not matching what has been said about your life. The Lord has spoken, so I'm Jerusalem, I'm this, you know, I'm this, I'm that. The Lord said I will be fruitful, I will multiply, but what is it? So, and I can tell you, I understand what it is to have certain promises being delayed. I understand what it is to have certain things the Lord has said to you being delayed. It will shock you. Of all the cities of Israel, as it were, none was as attacked as the city called Jerusalem. Twice it was actually burned to the ground. 44 times it was attacked. 50 something times it was conquered and besieged. Yet he was carrying the name, the house of peace. And some of us don't realize that some of the attacks that are coming to you is because of the name, the prophetic utterance that are hanging over your life. So you feel and you have interpreted it to mean, if truly I have this thing, why am I going through this? You don't realize that the contestation or the contest for your peace is because already God has spoken that peace is going to come to your life. Are you struggling as it were to try to increase the ministry or whatever you're doing? And it seems like the word of the Lord is hanging over your life. And I want you to see what Jesus began to do. In case you are wondering, what exactly is the stance of God about this matter? Well, I'm going to show you now. The stance of God is the same stance of Jesus. Notice that he began to weep. And what do I mean by that? He wasn't weeping in condemnation, but rather he was weeping in concern, in compassion. I just want you to know that that word of health, that word of life that God has given to you that seems to be delaying or not coming to pass, I just want you to know this first of all, that it is going to come to pass. Yeah, it is going to come to pass. And in case you are wondering, thinking that God, you just left me high and dry. God says, no, I'm not leaving you high and dry. Look at that, he was weeping. That means he had such compassion for Jerusalem. But there's something that I want you to see that it called us attention to. He said it is hidden from your eyes. And what is hidden? It was not the prophecy that is hidden. He said, how I wish that today you of all people will understand the way to peace. How I wish that today you of all people will know the way, the pathway to the fulfillment of the things and the promises that are hanging over your life.
A while back, you know, church wasn't, you know, in a certain place that I wanted it to be. And, you know, I prayed, I had fasted, done everything, you know, because I just believe that, you know, I just did a study of the city I was in. As at that time, this city has over whatever. And I checked all, how many of us were in church. I said, look, there are so many unbelievers there. The most, I mean, everywhere, everything's, I'm like, there can be more. So I was praying. And I remember I had this vision, the Lord opened my eyes, and I saw it. I saw it. And he gave me a word even to back it up. But it seemed like after that, all I had was that word and nothing was happening. But please let me say this to you. Don't ever despise any prophetic utterance that come your way, even if it has not come to pass. Because that is the incunabula. That is the beginning of all things. That's how God starts things in your life. He starts by giving you a word of prophecy. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you know, I think verse 19 there about, one of the first things he said powerfully, he said, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. And I was listening to Brother Keith Moore, you know, some I can't remember what, a while back, and he said, one of the fastest ways for you to quench the operations of the Holy Spirit in your life is to despise the prophetic utterances that God has given to you. Quench not the spirit. Then the next thing is, he said, despise not prophesying. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Don't quench the spirit. Despise not prophesying. When prophecies come to you, the essence of prophecy to you is to help you. Let me quickly show you something in Amplified Version that will help you here. In Amplified Version of 1 Timothy, I really love that 1 Timothy 1:18, Amplified because of time. Amplified Version 1 Timothy 1:18. I want you to see, what does it say here? It says what? Can we read this together? It says what? This charge, I admonish you, I commit what? Entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophetic intimations which I formerly received what? Concerning you. So inspired and aided. Prophecies aid you. They help you. They inspire you. Aided. When a prophetic word goes ahead of you, the Lord has sent aid ahead of you. He said aided and assisted by them, inspired by them. So when prophetic utterance comes your way, it doesn't matter how long it takes. The first thing is, are you a Jerusalem that looks like whatever, nothing is happening now? Jesus Christ says, listen, the issue here is not with the prophetic utterance hanging over your life. No. He said, I can see that. He said, what is missing here is actually, and he tells us that, is that your eyes are hidden. I mean, your eyes have been blinded to their ways. I remember then I'll come to church, I'll be so frustrated every now. What exactly is happening? The one day, you know, and the Lord says, leave this venue. Leave this venue. That is a venue that I found the most favor. The owner of the hotel. In fact, let me share this with you. The story about the hotel, the hall was that in 2001, I was in my house in Ikaja. And suddenly I sensed that I should get up and go and pray. And it was in the city of Ilorin, out of nowhere. I mean, like, you know, I mean, you are in Lagos, 2001. Go, get up, go to Ilorin and go and pray. So I had to start looking for how to whatever. Well, I went to the city. I had a friend. And when I got there, I said, I came to pray. So he gave me a room, you know, behind their house. And I began to pray. What I was praying about, I wish I could tell you, I didn't know. And I would just wake up and pray in tongues, and I would be weeping. And I would be crying. The mother of the house will wake up in the next morning. She called me, my son, Areo. Then she would say, Areo, I heard you crying midnight. Hope there is no problem. I said, Mommy, everything is fine. Because I couldn't communicate. You know, I remember when I had just one green Bible, Evangelism by Fire. One cassette by Benny Hinn and then one other journal. And I would just be going through, just pray, just pray, just pray. Then on Saturday, I was about to leave the city of Ilorin. My friend said, hey, come, my dad is building an hotel, you're an architect. Come and see if there is something you can add to it. So I walked into the place and I looked at the place. I said, where is the hall? He said, which hall? I said, why should have a little hall somewhere for people to use, just like a small hall. Then they said, okay, we'll put the hall there. 10 years after 2011, the Lord sent me to the city to go and start a church. And the Lord says, go back to that hall, that place, that building there, that hotel.
I went there, they gave me the hotel. I mean, he was almost like was free. So I was enjoying favor. I didn't want to go. Listen, it is possible that you are Jerusalem, but the ways to the Salem is actually missing. Leave. And then, you know, finally, eventually, you know, start believing God, you know, to get this property. And cut long story short, the area the Lord told us to leave, I didn't like the place. I left Lagos to come to Ilorin. If anything, I wanted a semblance of Lagos. So I was looking for GRA, you know, the place that when someone comes, God, it looks like where you're coming from. But the Lord says, go to Tanke, that student area. And whatever, I said no, because I had gone there before. I know what my eyes saw. I was not going to go there again. Because when I went GRA, I went there to preach to one girl, to preach, to visit, to follow up. When I got to the house of the girl to follow up, another, what she was, she just said, come over here. I said, ha. Lord, I shall not come to this area again. So I had stayed away from that place. Imagine the Lord says, now go there. It was a dirty area. It was nothing. There was a prophecy, a vision I had seen. It lingered and stayed for as long I was there in that place. It was not the prophecy, it was the ways. He said, if you know, the enemy had blinded your eyes. The next thing was, I said, all right, I obeyed the Lord. We moved there. Serious battle, that's the truth. You know, with the authorities on ground and all that, we got there. It will shock you. Just about 200 people moved there and all that. That same year, by the end, church quadrupled. Next year, quadrupled. Like four times. I said, what? After God says, increase the marquee again. Bam, another. It was such a place of eventual ease. I could stay in GRA. A place I love and be carrying that same utterance, that same prophetic, Jerusalem. Oh, the place of peace. Oh, Jesus began to cry. Oh, he began to weep. He said, if you know the things that are hidden from your peace, that very peace you are asking me, there is a pathway to it. There is something, you know, for you to get into that will best, you know, that same dimension. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prophecies are ahead of you. The question is, what is it? And I want to show you something that you probably haven't linked before now. And it will really, because when the Lord began to show me this, myself, I was like, oh, you blessed my heart. And I began, God started bringing in, like Pastor Boji said, we don't preach experience, we preach the word. And then in the word, we find our experiences. You know, and the next thing that happened is this. The Bible said, after that, Jesus wept and told them what was missing, that your eyes, notice the word. He said, your eyes, let's quickly see it together. Let's quickly see it. He says, how I wish today that you of all, why did he say you of all people? And he should ask, why you of all people? Because you are the one carrying this thing. Of everyone that should know it, it should be you. You of all people. Could you please let me put it back? Thank you. You of all people should understand what is it? The way to the utterance that is hanging over your life. Peace. You are called house of peace. You are called the foundation of peace. You of all people should know. But now in Sulewan, he said, because it is hidden from your eyes. But you know what Jesus did after? For me was what? One of the things that blew. The Bible said he got in and moved into the temple. Why did he do so? Because he realized that when a city is under siege, and when the promise is hanging, go to the spiritual headquarters of that environment. That's where the problem is. He could have gone to preach, but he went, he said, something is wrong. The problem with Jerusalem is closed eyes. If it is closed eyes, move to the spiritual headquarters. And then he walked into the temple, and then he found what had caused the blocked and the closed eyes. And then he said, he found activities there in the temple, but the activities were not the activities that opened the eyes of people. They were, so it wasn't whatever, so he said, get out. What left the temple affected the city? Prayer was no longer here, the eyes of the city became dark, and then the promises hung. So therefore he got there, and he said unto them, get out! This activity is not consistent with how to achieve and how to get to this promise. This activity is not consistent.
Sometimes, you know, you minister healing to people and then you want to do something. The Lord says, don't do that. Don't minister this way. Minister it this way. And then you do so. And then sometimes as minister, you get stuck in your way. And then you look at the result. The Lord tells you, I will do this in a meeting, but you don't get to do it because you did not fulfill. You now look, and this is what happens. After a while, you know, how this thing can be. When the meeting finishes, you say, that's how God wanted it. It was because the way was there, but you didn't follow it. So Jesus went in another, and where did he go to? He went to the temple. And when he got to the temple, he began to drive them out. And he said to them, my house shall be called the house of prayer. If it had been the house of prayer, the eyes of the people would not have been closed. Let's see Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16 to 17 and 18. Let's start from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? The eyes of your understanding. Now, let's go to verse 16 first, please. 16. So that, you know, we can know what led to that. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And what is the content of my prayers? He says what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay? The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What led to the eyes of their understanding being enlightened? Prayer. What was missing in Jerusalem as at that time? Prayer. So sometimes it's the fact that, and this is where I'm almost getting ready, you know, to run out because of time. And this is why many times the issues we have is the fact that when we say pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Spirit a lot. One of the mistakes we, you know, sometimes we feel is that maybe it's just, you know, for edification. Truly it is for edification. But one of the things the Bible said about praying in tongues, he said he that prayed in an unknown tongue edifies himself. I'm an architect, so I have a bit of understanding that the word edify there means edifice. That means he's rising higher and higher and higher. Now hear this. This will help you. I have found out in, when it comes to building or anything, the higher you stand, the farther you see. When you stand upon a house, there is a vision you will have. 10-story, 60-story, when we begin to pray a lot in the Spirit and pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, one of the things that begin to happen is that you begin to, now this is what is funny, you might not hear some things in a certain way that you, according to religion, you have thought that that's how, you know how,
my son, Jacob, I am your God. Hear me clearly, clearly. Apply, high. For that company, for this post of a manager, ninja. Hi. I'm the Lord.
And some in your mind, this is that another dimension. This is. I'm just kidding. God is not in that direction again. Where somebody wears white cloth and poop powder and says, high. What I'm saying is that you pray in the Spirit to some extent that unconsciously you begin to take unconscious steps towards greatness. It will look like it is a coincidence, but you have seen some things that begin to influence your ways. That it is not even, you have become one with the leading of the Holy Ghost. That it is not just, you know, whatever, that unconsciously something happened, and funny enough, you know, I've never told Pastor this. We got a land, it was free, besides ShopRite. Free. And we're going to take it. I shared the testimony in church. Glory to God, we're moving. Woo, everybody rejoiced. Except that when I stepped on that land, my piece left. And should I tell you, it was free. It was the most central part of almost like the city. I mean, this is the crowd that passed that place, and I was there. But I lost my peace. I lost my peace. I just couldn't find it again. And then I've been praying in the Holy Ghost. One day I just got to by our guest room and I just sat down. And then in a vision I saw Pastor. And that's Pastor. And I remember I was going after him. I was calling him, Pastor, sir. And he just kept moving.
He just kept moving. He didn't stop. I was running. I was feeling bad. What did I do? Suddenly he just stopped. He just said to me, he said, because the land is free, you want to take it and bury your ministry. And he continued moving. And then the thing left. And immediately I got up. I said, what is this? The next thing I heard is that a wise man foreseeth evil and he avoided it. The fool goes headlong and is punished for it. I went to meet the owner of the land. Sir, we will not be needing the land again. It was free. But this is where I'm going. Where we got the growth, it was a lot of millions for us as at that level. But it came with ease. And because of whatever, it was the place the Lord had ordained, everything followed in line. When you begin to pray a lot in the spirit, something heightens on your inside. That if you begin to take certain steps, you know, that are in line, you know, with what God has done. So he said, Jesus Christ said, God there, he said, get up, everybody get up. And on that, he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. The next thing that happened to me was very funny. If you chase people out and you said your house should be a house of prayer, what do you expect people should start doing? Let's start praying. Parabada. But I said, he started teaching. So you said our house is a house of prayer, then start praying. He said, no. It is not because you have not been praying before now. Let me teach you the correct prayer. You were praying before now, because if it's just prayer, get out, everybody get out. It should be every now, get out. No. The Bible said he started teaching. And definitely he must have been in line with what he just said earlier on. He started teaching them along the line of prayer so that now it's not just noise. There is accuracy in the things that you are praying about. There is accuracy, not just the way you were praying it before, but accuracy. And they began to pray. And let me quickly say this to you. Every time you begin to pray, you feel the move of the Spirit. At night, I know that God is speaking to you. Don't say my prayer time, I don't know who this is for. My prayer time is 6 a.m. Because the wind of the Spirit may blow in your room around 2 a.m. And without the alarm, something rings in your spirit and wakes you up. But because of your religion and tradition, you switch it off and go back so you can pray for 6. And there was something that you were supposed to settle that vital moment of your life. He went there, and when he got there, he chased them out. I said, hey, everybody get out. My house will be called the house of prayer. He began to teach and everything like that. I want you to know this. As you begin to pray a lot in the spirit, and you pray in the spirit, let me just quickly jump and just move to this. As you pray in the spirit a lot, something happened. You sensitize your human spirit. You bring the spirit to a place whereby, you see, just like where we started from. How many of you, some of you grew up in an era where you have those things, where antenna. We grew up in, where, you're watching whatever. He don't show, he never show. Then you turn it on. Say, hey, what, where are you? Dapada. Then they turn it again. Say, what? Just go back. Because the things of the spirit are very close. That is what I say. Incline your ears. It's an inclination. You keep twisting. And the problem is that sometimes it is not twisted to the point where there is clarity yet. And if it is not there and all that, you need to keep twisting. And I can tell you this, the more you pray in the spirit, the clearer the thing you begin to get. It gets so clear that the witness of the spirit gets so strong on your inside that you go like, and let me round up with the last thing I was going to say because of time. The witness of the spirit is a major factor in you taking the right steps when it comes to this thing. Notice where we're coming from. Jesus was crying over Jerusalem, a prophetic, a house of peace, the foundation of peace. Yet peace was lacking. And he said to them, this is what is lacking, all right? It's not the prophecies, it's the way to which the prophecy will be fulfilled. And this is it. The inward witness, and I will say this, I believe this will help you, is like a GPS system. When somebody is a witness, now I'm talking about the help of the Holy Spirit in the capacity of him being your witness. Notice that word, in the capacity of being a witness. A witness is not someone that causes things to happen. A witness shows that something has happened. This is where I'm going. That, okay, something happened, I was there, I saw this.
wired in your human spirit is a complex maps and timings. It is there in your human spirit, wired there. That is why I say, what man knoweth the things of a man, but the spirit of that man, that is, that means the things concerning your life is wired like, you know, it's a massive map. It is like GPS system. When you check your GPS on your phone, you notice that you see all the everything, whatever, but you notice something. The more you begin to zoom out, it gets clearer to the point you can begin to see individual streets, individual. Before that, you just see a very large whatever. But as you zoom out, it goes deeper, it goes deeper, it goes deeper, till you can see clearer. This is how it is. The Holy Spirit comes to the map as you are praying in tongues, come to the map of your heart like this. You pray to a point, it looks like he places his finger on somewhere. Bam! He just puts his hand there, just like this, like, ta, 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 ta. He places his hand there. This is it. This is it. This is it. You pray much more, he gets clearer to the point where by just, that, you know, you can hear people say, I can tell you, I know you like I know my name. But at other times, you won't be able to say that. You said that he seemed good unto me. At other times, you said that I think something. Many times, it's almost the same thing, is the level of clarity. Are you hearing as thunder? Are you hearing as angel? Are you hearing clearly that the Father has spoken? Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. I sense strongly. I have just a few, you know, minutes to go. That's, listen to me. I was ministering to somebody about something, and the Lord says, you know, to do something, you know, and all that. But I just felt, well, let me. I don't think that's the right way and all that. But thank God, finally, eventually, I obeyed the Lord. And I gave the word. And I said, I sense this, what, you know, this matter. Yeah, is there any witness in your spirit in that direction? You know, and she said, whatever. Herself and her husband went, you know, they did that and all that, you know. Came back. What they had waited for years, you know, the Lord did that thing. She told me, God gave us this promise a long time ago. The problem is not the promise. The promise is still there. Over that thing. Is the fact that he said the enemy closed your eyes. By the closing of the eyes, he said the ways were blocked. And he went forward to tell you that, see, after that, in the temple, the spiritual headquarters is where the problem is. What is wrong with the spiritual headquarters? The activity is not like there is no activity. There is activity, but wrong activity. He did not get to the temple and the temple was empty. People were doing things. And I'm not talking about temple being whatever now. I'm talking about your human spirit. Lift your hands right now and begin to bless the Lord. There is something going on in your human spirit that the Lord is talking to you about.